Blog Talk Radio.
I got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new rule, only real folks around. If you were wondering, I'm about to tell you nothing. It's the same pretty face, but a brand new smile. Same letter C, but she ain't walking, she's...
Good evening, and welcome, dear listeners, to Totally Whole on this Monday night. Thank you so much for those of you who have tuned in to Totally Whole Radio Broadcast. I am Pastor Bridget, and I thank you for joining me again on this Monday. Those of you who are rejoining the show from last week with Dr. Rosemary Cook, who had an awesome show, we are so grateful and thankful for the opportunity and the airways and this here venue that we have been allotted to go forward and to help share some of the tools and expertise and the things that God has given us to speak to the hearts of His most precious commodity, that is His creation, His people. So thank you so much. It is a joy. I want to say this to you, those of you who are listening. I, as your host, do not take it for granted that you have tuned in tonight, because I realize that, you know, there are other things you could be doing, and you have put this on your agenda to share with Pastor Bridget on tonight as we talk about breaking the chains of betrayal. Betrayal is such an ugly thing when you think about it. Betrayal. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and see how the Spirit of God allows us to move throughout the conversation. So you say, I can trust you. Really? Is that true? Will you not hurt me? You promise? You want me to believe your eyes? Why? Oh, because you said they can't lie. Okay, I will. A year later. But oh no, how could you? I thought you said you would not hurt me. I thought a promise spoken was a promise kept. Betrayal is a devastating thing. Listen. Betrayal is a human condition. Throughout the record of human history, treachery and betrayal have been considered amongst the very worst offenses people could commit against their fellow man. And so betrayal has been around from the beginning of time, so it's not a new phenomenon. It's not something that just happened in the 21st century. Betrayal has been around. As a matter of fact, it even began in heaven. And it began even with Lucifer, who wanted to dethrone God. He betrayed him. God created him, but he betrayed him. And it's also seen with Cain and Abel. Betrayal amongst brothers. And one definition of betrayal is that it is an act of deliberate disloyalty. That's one of the definitions. So why does betrayal hurt so much? Perhaps is it because it comes from a trustworthy place, a place you thought was safe, a place where your secrets you thought would be kept in a private place, in a hidden place. You see, betrayal, it hurts. And it is indeed the fact of the matter that it hurts so much is because you believe that you put it in a safe place, a place where you would be protected, a place where you would be covered, and a place where you would be cared for with such delicacy and tenderness and concern. So, yes, betrayal does indeed hurt, and it hurts worse when it comes from a place you thought was safe. And there are some places that if we're honest with ourselves, when we think about hurt and when we think about pain due to betrayal, some of those places were in our homes. Mm-hmm. Some of those places was in the school, in the classroom. Other places on the job. These are some of the places that we have experienced hurt. And, you know, I don't want to get too deep in terms of the home life, but that's, again, where you're supposed to be safe. Betrayal by someone you love and trust can be the most difficult experience in life. And betrayal by a parent can just skew the way you see the world and how you live out the trust factor for the rest of your life. Just look at some children who have been abused by parents, who have been abused by guardians. And so when you look at them as children and you look at how they look at the world and how they sometimes shut down and don't want to allow anybody into their space because they have been violated by the very person in the house, So some people have been betrayed in the place of their homes, and some people have been betrayed, as I stated, in school. You send your children to school. You go to school thinking, again, that that's a learning place where adults will care for you and nurture you and help you and push you along the way and teach you the lessons that need to be taught from the academics perspective and so help you. And so there was a teacher perhaps that violated the trust of a child. And then even in the church, some people have been violated in the church. I'm not going to talk about that right now, and I'll come back to that. And so betrayal can be done by a friend, and sometimes when you're betrayed by a friend, I don't know about you, but I've talked to some people who have, and it makes folks sometimes begin to question their ability to make sound judgment and to question themselves when a friend betrays them, because most of us select our friends, I believe, carefully. We try to look for like-minded people that we have something in common with, people that we bond with, and so we kind of, you know, are intentional about who we select to be our friends. And when that trust has been violated in a friendship, it can make us question, did we use wisdom and did we make the right decisions, and how well do we really know ourselves, let alone someone else? And the betrayal of a spouse or a significant other can bring your life to a crisis. I'm telling you, there are some folk who are still trying to recover from the betrayal of a spouse or a significant other. And I think sometimes people think that that's the most devastating thing about betrayal, when it happens to you from someone that you pledge to spend your life with, someone that you have given yourself to in such a precious and sacred way, and that person then turns around and just mishandle you and breaks the trust factor and the loyalty, that right there can be indeed very troubling, and it can leave you with trying to pick up shattered pieces all around you. And so some folk are still trying to recover from that, from a boyfriend, from a girlfriend. And that kind of betrayal can cause some folk to do some really crazy stuff, some crazy stuff. And in counseling, some people who have had ugly, you know, the breakups or the betrayal in the relationship, it causes them to act out of character. In some instance, it can cause them to do things they never thought that they would do because they are hurt and they can't believe that that thing happened to them. And then some people fall into such great depression and not able to recover from that. So betrayal can be an ugly thing. Betrayal is not, you just don't experience it from a parent or friend or spouse, but you can be experience betrayal from a sibling, a cousin, an uncle, a grandparent, and somebody may be listening out there right now. You can attest that you were betrayed by a relative, and to this day, you have not been able to talk about it, and you cannot even, you know, get the words out of your mouth because what you experienced was so horrific from that specific loved one who betrayed your trust and who took advantage of you. And somebody who's listening, you may not have even, you know, gotten the proper counseling, and you still grappling with the whole event of and the whole episode of being violated by that relative. And so you can understand what it is to be violated and to be betrayed by a loved one, by a family member. And like I said earlier, you can be betrayed by a pastor, a spiritual leader. And I said I was going to come back and talk about that the church being the place where you receive, you know, your betrayal. That is a hard place because that's the place where you go to be lifted up, to be encouraged, to receive spiritual insight, to hear what God is saying and how he's speaking to you. You don't go to church. Typically people don't. I mean, sane people, normal people. You don't go to church to be violated. You don't go to church to be taken advantage of. You don't go to church to have people preying upon your love for God. You go to church to grow spiritually and get greater spiritual insight. And so there are some folk who are still trying to recover and break free from those chains of betrayal that happen in the church. And a lot of times people don't want to talk about, you know, what the spiritual leader did or what the pastor did. And you have a whole community of people who will protect, you know, the leadership, and will sometimes they'll you know, cast doubt upon the person who's bringing them and trying to get them to help them and trying to share the story of the thing that happened to them from the leader, from the pastor, and they'll sometimes cast stones like the woman that was brought to Jesus who was caught in adultery. You know, they'll be amongst those folk who were ready to pick up the stone and to stone her, as opposed to trying to you know, understand and to be a compassionate ear and to offer some assistance and to be loving, you know, in their concern. But in some instances, folk have received the very opposite. They have received the loving embrace and seeing how that they could assist and help and even offer their ear. They have been, condoned them and condemned, not condoned rather, but condemned them and want to discredit them. And so betrayal in the house, in the church, in the schoolhouse, is a very devastating place, and as I said, even in the workplace. So betrayal is also a breach of contractual, nonverbal, and verbal agreement of trust that's built into a committed relationship of some sort. Now, there's a difference between a mistake and a calculation. A mistake is something that is done without intention, and you know, I forgot to call you is a mistake. You know, if you know, I I meant to go there and pick that up for you, but I just got sidetracked. That was a mistake. I didn't, you know, do that intentionally. Or, you know, when things, you know, sometimes folks get real busy and they'll. I've heard folks say, "Man, you walked by me, you didn't even speak to me." Never understanding perhaps what's going on in my mind. What am I dealing with when I have walked by you? And sometimes people are so quick to prejudge and to make assumptions and to assume something. And so, you know, there are instances where you make a mistake and you don't do it with intention or with malice. It's a legitimate mistake. But then there are times when there's a calculation. A calculation is a deliberate process. When you go with the intent of doing something, you have thought about that thing, you have planned that thing, you have strategized how you were going to carry it out. You even came up with a systematic agenda of how you were going to do it. That's a calculation. And so when we talk about betrayal, is it possible that, and I'm asking this question to you listening audience, is it possible in some cases that betrayal can be mistakenly and deliberately? Can it be both? Or is it always a deliberate act? And I think that's two distinctions that we need to think about when we talking about betrayal or when someone does us wrong and we feel betrayed. Was it a mistake, or was it a calculative move or motivation? According to Linda and Charlie Bloom, their therapist, they say betrayal is a broken agreement, implicit or explicit, that is considered vital to the integrity of a relationship. And let me just stop right there. It is so important when we're talking about relationships and trusting one another and being able to depend on somebody, that there is indeed integrity in the relationship. And I think that's an important foundation that will enable us to proceed in a healthy manner in relationships. But when that relation, when that integrity is not there, then you can be sure and be clear that some problems will arise in the relationship. And so they go on to say, the capacity of a relationship to recover from a betrayal has a lot to do with the responses, particularly on the part of the betrayer to the situation. And so they're saying, how you respond to what happened to you will have a lot to do with how you recover. And I heard someone say, attitude is everything. How you think of a thing, how you respond to a thing, then determines if you're going to be able to break free and transition and grow from whatever it is that you went through. Based on how you respond will have to do with your level or process of recovery. Most people enter into a relationship with the hope that there will be honesty, loyalty, faithfulness, and trust. Now, I don't think any, you know, same person goes into a relationship saying, you know, I want to be, you know, cheated on. I want somebody to, you know, just abuse me. And I just want to, you know, you don't go into a relationship with that kind of mentality. Now, we know no relationship is perfect. No, not one. If you out there and you listen, you have one, when it's time for the phone lines to be open, I want you to be sure to press 1 so you can give us some tips and help us on how to have a perfect relationship. Now, when the lines open, please do call in. But nonetheless, betrayal is not an exclusive club. And to be exact, most people have been a member of this painful club. So when we talk about statistically, most folk have have been betrayed. And if you have not been betrayed, as the old folk would say, just keep on living. And I would say to you, you know, some people think they weigh betrayal, you know, okay, they look at big events and they say, oh, wow, look what happened to that person. That is definitely, you know, something to be in the category of betrayal. But there can be some small little things that sometimes folk like to overlook, especially the person who is doing the betraying, that like to overlook and say, okay, this is a little offense, you know, this is a little something and it's not betrayal. But when you're not honest about who you are and you're not honest with the person that you're with about how you feel and how you see them, the idea of it being little or small has nothing to do with the reality of there being dishonesty and betrayal in the relationship or the committed contract that you have. So it's not an exclusive club. It is a club that most people have been a part of. As a matter of fact, when we look to Scripture and see that we see that we are in good company when we're talking about betrayal. We see that Delilah betrayed Samson to the Philistines, and that's found in Judges 16:21. We also see that David betrayed the trust of Uriah in order to hide his sin. Now, those of you who are listening, who read the Bible, who know something about the Bible, know a little bit about or something about David and Bathsheba. And so David betrayed the trust of his trusted and loyal warrior, Uriah. Also, when we look at Scripture in terms of betrayal, we see that Absalom betrayed David, his father, as he sought to steal his kingdom. But the one that most folk remember, and the scholars say is the biggest betrayal of them all, was Judas, who betrayed Jesus and handed him over to the religious leaders. And so Psalm 78:38 says, "But he, being full of compassion," that's God, "forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, breath that passes away and does not come again." So I guess the question is to us, if God, on numerous occasions, time and time again, do not hold the betrayal against us in judgment, but forgives us and loves us over and over again, what are we to do when we have been betrayed? And I just heard someone say, but check it out, Pastor Bridget, listen, for real, I'm not God, and I just can't do it, because I do understand the reality is some people cannot forgive the offense. They cannot let go, and some people it's just too painful, and I understand that you're not God and you're right about it, but I would also say to that, to add to that, you know, consider yourself to be created in this image and in his likeness, then there is something about you that ought to be God-like when trying to deal with the offense and the offender and looking at how does God deals with us who offends him. How does he deal? How does he respond to our betrayal? And I do hope, you know, if there are any self-righteous folk who are listening, because we do have those folk who are self-righteous, who doesn't think, you know, they do anything wrong and, you know, think they are the purest thing out here walking. But he says in Psalm 78 that they are flesh, And we are. As much as we are spirit beings, we are still made out of flesh. And so we ought to be mindful. And I suggest that, you know, think more like God when we're dealing with the issue of forgiveness. And I'm not saying that you don't have a right to feel the way you feel, or you shouldn't feel the way you, you know, not that you shouldn't feel the way you feel, but that you don't have a right to feel the way you feel. Because I do understand if someone really hurt you deeply, and that place is still a sore spot for you, that you do indeed have a legitimate reason to feel what you feel. But I think it's important to point out to you that, you know, don't get stuck there. Don't get locked in there, because then you too betray your own self. You betray your own self and when you do that. So when you think about betrayal, what comes to your mind? One of the questions I want to ask you is, when you think about betrayal, what comes to your mind? Have you ever been betrayed? Is there a face, name, place, or image you associate with betrayal? That's important. And then the other thing, were there any signs that this person was capable of this kind of betrayal? Because some folk believe that people kind of show you some little signs of their character and who they are. And when people want to give folk the benefit of the doubt, they sometimes sweep over that. They sometimes gloss over it, and they sometimes overlook it because they don't want to believe what their eyes are really showing them. Someone said, and I quote, "Sometimes the person you take a bullet for ends up being the one behind the gun." And so let me move on and talk about some of the barriers. Some of the barriers to overcoming betrayal is, number one, being fixated on how you were wrong. Some people can't be healed and free from betrayal because they're so fixated. They are almost obsessed with how they were wrong. You ever had a conversation with a person whose heart may have been broken, or somebody mistreated them, somebody didn't do them right, and you know, every time you talk to them about something in terms of pain and hurt or something of that nature, they keep going back to that place where somebody hurt them, and they become so fixated until the conversation becomes unproductive. And you can't even get them to move beyond where they are or to see the possibility of being free and healed. Then the other thing that's a barrier is that the person then focuses on and keep replaying the good times that they had with the person who caused the offense. We had such a good time. How could this happen? We had such wonderful, you know, moments together. I just can't believe that this has happened. That's a barrier. And to getting yourself free and breaking the chains of betrayal and overcoming that. The other one is being in a constant state of mourning. I had a cousin, and she's about 3 years old. And she had a relationship with a gentleman at the age, I believe, about 16 and 17. And to this day, she still mourns that relationship and could never get herself into another relationship because she got stuck in the mourning process of what was and what she thought was supposed to be and how the outcome of that relationship should have been. And so she's in a constant state of mourning. That's a barrier. that's a barrier that gets in the way of you overcoming betrayal. So what are the acts of betrayal? Most of us, you know, can list some, but for the sake of this conversation, we know that lying is indeed one of the acts of betrayal, not telling the truth. And if I could, let me just say this real quick here. I think it's important that those of us who claim to represent God, that we understand that one of the characteristics of God is honesty and that he is an integrity God. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. And so be mindful about what you say out of your mouth and make sure that what you're saying is true. There's a scripture that says, you know, make sure your yea is yea and your nay is nay. And so make sure that you say your yes is yes and your no is no. The other act is stealing. Stealing. I don't know if anybody had anybody steal anything from them, but that's one of those things, you know, when you think of stealing, people tend to think about money. Money is one, because there are some folk who stole your money, didn't I ever, you know, stole it and even lied about it. Not only did they steal, but they lied too. And some folk who never gave you your money back, and there are some folk, though, who steal your identity. They steal your identity by trying to destroy your reputation. They steal your reputation, and there are some folk who may be listening in the audience right now, in the listening audience, who's still trying to recover your reputation because somebody tried, you know, stole your reputation with spreading false rumors and innuendos, you see, and they stole your reputation. So the other one, of course, the big one is what? The C word, cheating. The big one is cheating. Someone cheated on you. We kind of like went through that already, talking about the spouse, you know, with the significant other, breaking the trust factor. So cheating was inclusive of that. So you have the cheating. And there are some folk, though, who cheat on God, and need to work that thing out and get that right, because we're cheating on God with idols and with doubt and with, you know, even indecision to make a commitment to him fully and totally and completely and surrendering to him. And the other one is abandonment. Somebody left you. Somebody who said they would always be there with you. And I want to say this too, when we talk about abandonment. Abandonment in terms of not just somebody walking out of the door, physically walking out the door and saying, not and sometimes don't even say a word, but just walking and leaving you. Some folks feel abandoned by the act of suicide. For some people, that's an abandonment act, you know, abandonment rather, not act, but abandonment in terms of betrayal. They feel betrayed by the suicide that the person committed. And others feel abandoned by a loved one's death because they feel that the person did not fight hard enough to stay alive. As strange as that may sound to some of you, but that is a reality for some folk. They feel like the person should have fought a little harder and been a little more determined to stay alive. And so they feel abandoned by their death. And so some of the effects of the act of betrayal are depression, isolation, fear, bitterness, and a revengeful spirit. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that revengeful spirit because it is normal to want to get revenge on somebody who betrayed you. It is a normal feeling. So, you know, don't let nobody tell you that, you know, you shouldn't feel that way. No, that's a normal feeling to want to get even, to want to settle the score. I know in some situations, if it had not been for God's grace and God's wisdom, I would have knocked some folk upside the head. And Pastor Bridget, we thank God for salvation because I may have been in jail. But God, if we call upon him and we reach out to him, he helps us to deal with those feelings of wanting to fight back and wanting to get the person and helping us to understand that vengeance belongs to him and not to us. So when it's all said and done, God will handle that. So that vengeful, you know, revengeful spirit that we sometimes, you know, develop, it's okay, but we can't act upon it. We cannot act upon it, and we cannot allow that to overtake us and to overwhelm us. So those were some of the effects I just wanted to name, just to name, you know, a few of those I talked about. I list depression, isolation, fear, bitterness, and a revengeful spirit. Be mindful of that. And I talked to you the last time on the telephone, I talked about being spiritually fit and making sure that we do self-examinations. This is also inclusive of that self-examination. Make sure that we have examined ourselves, okay? So I want to introduce my special guest. I kind of wanted to go over some things before she came on the phone, on the line rather, and talking about betrayal and some of its effects, some of what it looks like. And so I want to bring her on. Dawn Launce is her name. She is a New Orleans native and the proud mother of two beautiful children, Walter and Jada. Dawn has a bachelor's degree in English, and she has a master's degree. And this servant of God walks in the prophetic anointing. She has the distinction of being named one of New Orleans' few African-American female archaeologists. Now, how many folk can say that? Dawn is also a board member of one of New Orleans' ecumenical organizations, and she is a biblical researcher and a student of the Hebrew language. Her passion is teaching and seeing the people of God live their best life. And so as Sister Dawn comes on board to totally hold conversation tonight, I want to ask her a question. What do you know about being betrayed, Sister Dawn? Can holding on to betrayal stunt your growth? Second question. Is betrayal an offense that can be forgiven? Hello, welcome, Dawn. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. Doing wonderful. I hope you were able to hear some of what I was sharing with the listening audience in terms of betrayal and how betrayal can be devastating. And how we can, you know, fight betrayal and what things we can do and what to be conscious of when we're trying to get our healing and trying to overcome betrayal. And it is real, and I know it's real. And if you heard me, you know, I talked about that you know, that vengeful spirit and wanting to get revenge and you know, how folk get locked in that. I didn't deal too much with the depression and the isolation and fear and bitterness, because all of that is tied into the revenge spirit, because that's, you know, when you think about all those other things, that, you know, builds up that moment of wanting to get the revenge. And so I want to ask you, you know, about being betrayed. What do you know about that, and how can that stunt your growth? And is it something that can be forgiven when you talk about being betrayed?
Yes, Pastor Goins. Betrayal for me dealt with deceit. And I know about betrayal in my life because it was done from a person that was very dear and near to me. And I think the initial impact of betrayal for me, actually the initial shock, because you never see it coming. You never recognize it. And that's what makes it so traumatic. And the pain of betrayal for me was so devastating that I felt like I went into a spiritual trauma unit. And from the trauma unit, you know, I went into needed to be in an ICU, spiritual ICU unit, and dealing with it. It was so devastating for me that it was like a thin line between sanity and insanity. And you talked about that revengeful spirit. And that spirit is so powerful when you are under attack of betrayal and experiencing the trauma and that initial shock, you know, you really want to hurt the person that hurt you.
Right.
And for me, I really wanted to, you know, get into that. I wanted to take vengeance for me. At one point, I forgot all about that vengeance belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take that into my own hands.
Right.
And it you have to be very careful about, you know, dealing with it in terms of your sanity and insanity. And what helped me in that was prayer, because it can stunt your growth. It can stunt your spiritual growth because you are so, you know, impacted by it, and you're asking God, why? Why did you allow this to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You being God, all-knowing, all-seeing, you protect me. Why did you allow this to happen? But it keeps us reminded, like you said earlier, that it is a human condition. And it keeps us reminded that God is supreme and that God can deliver us. And we have to rely on his deliverance from such things in life that is so impactful and traumatizing to us that we can't handle it with just being simply human.
Mm-hmm.
And as I dealt with betrayal, it took time. It's a process. It's a healing. To heal from it is a process.
Mm-hmm.
And I dealt with forgiveness because I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to forgive the person more than I wanted to hurt the person.
Mm-hmm.
So that revengeful spirit, you know, actually was turning into violence.
Right.
I wanted to be very, you know, violent, and it was so much violence, you know, that I couldn't sleep at night without thinking about how I'm going to get this person back, you know, because you are in such pain. But that's where you have to really break down and pray and rely on God's deliverance so that you can forgive. And forgiveness is a process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have to forgive in order to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from maturity, spiritual maturity, and
mm-hmm.
prayer. And that experience was, you know, traumatic for me. And it took some time to hear, you know, people say, oh, things heal over time. You'll forget in time. No, you don't forget. But you can forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mature in life and have other experiences, you can move on.
And you know what, Dawn, thank you so much. If I could interrupt you for one moment, I'm glad that you said that you can forgive and that forgiveness is not necessarily connected with forgetting, you know.
Right.
And some folks feel like, okay, because we have a memory, we have a mind, we have a conscious and a subconscious. And so there are some things that you can remember, but I think the issue is the memory cannot be such where it blocks and hinders you from forgiving.
Yes.
That as time goes on, the impact of the event or the hurt or the pain that was done to you lessens so that you do not remember or feel the intensity of the hurt in that moment as time goes on, as you seek God to help you through the process of forgiveness and healing. So I think that's important, you know, that people understand, because people will judge you and say, okay, so you haven't, you know, you talk about I can't forget, and so if you can't forget, then you can't forgive. And to be real clear about forgetting and what forgiving is and what forgetting is also. And so don't, you know, combine the two to mean exclusively the same thing. They're not.
They're not
the same thing. Right. Mm-hmm. So thank you
for
highlighting that.
Yes, and lastly, in my experience, as I healed from the betrayal experience, I remembered that God loves me. God loves me so much that he sacrificed himself. And he loves me just the way I am. He created me. He forgave me and allowed me to be renewed and to experience his deliverance and his unconditional love and faithfulness and loyalty. And thus, that's how, in my experience, you know, that's how I begin to grow. I had to move from that ugly place where betrayal had me. I had to, you know, really think about God's love and his faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Dawn, for that. That's some good insight. And what I want to do now is open up the phone lines. If someone has something that they like to add to the conversation, I would like for you to now have your say in terms of what can you offer, what insight can you give to the listening audience tonight in dealing with betrayal. You know, what were some of your experiences or lessons that you can share and offer to the listening audience as all of us are striving to live a whole and healthy life, a life where we can grow and be prosperous in all that we do, because the scripture does say, you know, that God would that we all prosper, that we be in good health. And so that is a part of prospering and being in good health, breaking free from chains of betrayal. And so the number is 646-929-0630. And when you dial that number to speak to me and to have your say, you'll need to press 1. You'll need to press 1. So, because all of us, if the truth be told, we do have something that we can offer and share with those who may be in it now, who are going through it, and give some nuggets of hope, some inspiration to those who are struggling, who are battling with that ugly thing called betrayal. And Sister Dawn, let me ask you this. Do you think it's important that people get a journal and write down some of their experiences in the betrayal saga?
I think that it's healthy to journal the experiences, because it is a way of expressing expressing it, because sometimes, you know, experiences like that are so devastating that you can't articulate. You can't articulate. You can't really talk about it. I think journaling is a healthy a tool in the healing process of coming out of a betrayal type experience.
Good. So what I want to do right now also is ask those of you who are listening, if you're able to get a pen and a piece of paper, even if you can't do it now, and I encourage you to do it later. And I want you to do this little, I'm encouraging you, inviting you to do this little exercise. I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen. And you may have to have two pieces of paper. I don't know. Only you do. And I want you to write down the following. The betrayer's name. And for some of you, it may be both. You were the betrayer, and there may be the person who betrayed you. Because all of us who are listening are not guiltless in the saga of betrayal. Some of us have been the person that did the betraying. So write your name down. That's your experience. And write down the person who betrayed you. Then write down what the offense was. What was the offense? Number three, how did it make you feel? When you think about it, what when you think about it, when you think about the feelings that you had, does it still hurt? Does it still hurt? And on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the highest and 5 being the lowest, right where you are on that scale, where are you on that scale? The next thing to write, who helped you to overcome your betrayal? And if you haven't overcome it yet, then write, who would you like to help you? And then write, how are you feeling now? So those are the things I want you, in your free time, do that little exercise. And again, that's a part of having a healthy checkup and being healthy. It's a part of that. It's a part of that. All right. So let me go back to the lines here. The number to call is 646-929-0630. And I want you, to call in and let us hear from you. Have your say. Offer some insight for us. Pastor Ava?
Yes.
Hi. What say you, Pastor Ava? What say you?
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Bridget. I tell you, this is truly a tremendous topic to be discussing on a Monday evening. So many people, it has been my experience, pastoring. So many people have been betrayed by church leaders, and that includes myself as well. I have been betrayed by, leaders who I have placed my trust and my faith in, only to discover that, they did intentionally, meant me harm. But glory to God, thank God that, I'm not behind a prison cell because I committed murder, but I thank God that that he has given me the grace and the ability, you know, to move on. I'm not going to say it's easy. A lot of times, you know, you do, you know, kind of get into a funk of a pity party, like, okay, so why me? What do I do? You know, what, you know, why did this happen to me? But, you know, when you get beyond all of that, and then if you can just, and my advice it would be to tell people who are listening, you know, those people who are still, you know, perhaps grappling with betrayal, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's a church hurt, you know, dealing with some unforgiveness from a sibling, from a parent, you know, what have you, is that, you know, if you could at some point just begin to, you know, release it into the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because at the end of the day, you know, Christ died for all of this stuff. You know, all of the pain that we are experiencing, all of the issues that we're going through, all of this hurt, this betrayal, Jesus Christ died for all of that. And as you said earlier in the opening, you know, discussion dealing with this, he too knows about betrayal because Judas betrayed him.
Absolutely.
You know, so all of the emotions, the issues, the hurt, the pain that goes with betrayal, God is not foreign. It's not foreign to God. He understands it. You know, he has experienced it. And so, you know, my suggestion and what I would offer and hope that, you know, those who are listening on tonight, that and again, it's not an easy process. It's not a quick process. Sometimes it's a slow boat to China. But if you can begin to, you know, just lay, you know, your pains, your concerns, those issues, you know, lay them at the feet of Christ Jesus. And even if you have to do, as you were just mentioning a little while ago, Pastor Bridget, even if you have to do an exercise as to getting some pen and some paper, you know, and writing it down, you know, because I think Minister Dawn said that sometimes, you know, what we have experienced is difficult to express or to articulate. But right. For some people, it's easier to write down. So if you have to journal it and write it down, you know, let that be a good venue for you as well. But I want to say this, and I'm going to let someone else talk too. It's not the end of the world. It is not, it is not, it is not. And surely, as many of us have recovered, you too shall recover too, and you can recover.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Ava. Appreciate that. Appreciate those positive and encouraging words. Be blessed.
Thank you.
We thank Pastor Ava for calling in and for adding her say to the conversation. And I want to say, as I prepare to end the show, we know that betrayal is painful, and that it hurts, and that it cuts like a knife. And I want to say to the person who's listening, and you're stuck. You're stuck, and some people may not have enough strength to find their way out of it. And so if you're still stuck in the pain and devastation of betrayal and you just can't seem to break free, I suggest to you, even after you've listened on to the show tonight and listened to some of the insight that we were able to share with you, I suggest you consider talking to a counselor, someone that's dear, a pastor, spiritual covering, or mentor. Because again, as a child of God, it is your birthright. It is indeed your destiny to be healthy and whole. And the enemy does not have the right conquer you, to overtake you, and to keep you bound in chains of betrayal. It is your right, it is your gift, and it is indeed God's desire for you. So as we close, let me say this. My name is Pastor Bridget. Again, for those of you who may have tuned in later in the show and not at the beginning, I can be reached via email, Living It Up Ministries. That's living without a G, It Up Ministries at yahoo.com. Or you can Facebook me and friend me, send me a friend request, Pastor Bridget Goins Gray. Look my name up when you go to your Facebook page and do send me a friend request. And if you want to talk to me, inbox me or send me an email message with your telephone number, and we can talk further about perhaps, you know, some of the resources that I have that I could offer you and assisting you to becoming totally whole. And Dr. Rosemary will be on next Monday night at 7 o'clock. So dial in and hear her show. I know she has something dynamic and empowering for her listeners to receive. And also, do check out the network that we're on, the radio network, Family Healing Circle. They have some shows that you check out on Thursday nights at 7, and they have added a new show on Sunday night at 7. So, again, let me thank you so much for tuning in, and I do hope that you got something and that you received some nuggets that you can use, if not for yourself, for someone else. But I encourage all of us to always look at the one in the mirror, look at the one that's looking back at us, because we don't want to be our worst enemy, but we want to be our best asset, our best tool, our best, hallelujah, gift. And God has given us the power to win, and the authority to speak those things that be not as though they were. So we are indeed more than conquerors. And I suggest and encourage that you walk in that and let that not just be a slogan or something you say to make you feel good, but let that be your reality. Because for God, that is His reality for us. So we want to be everything that He has destined and birthed us into this realm of creation to be. Until we meet again, not this coming Monday, but the following Monday. I don't have the date in front of me, but meet me. I'm here twice a month. So is Dr. Rosemary Cook next Monday. And then I'm on the following Monday. All right? Peace and blessings. Be strong. Be courageous. Be bold. And love God. And do indeed love you.